Hello and welcome to Listen and Pray from St Andrew's, Oxford. So here we are in lockdown again, and that's why I'm here at home. In a time of change, challenge and uncertainty, isn't it good to know that God never changes? He never fails. He always keeps his promises, for he is faithful. So let's start our time together with a song of praise to our God. Great is your faithfulness. We're continuing our series based on the vision that God has given us for St Andrew's, Oxford. You'll remember that there are four elements to our vision: followers of Jesus Christ, growing in faith, growing in number, and serving the community. Serving the community, that's what we're looking at this week. And in a moment, we're going to hear two readings from the Bible and then from Patrick Davies, our curate. He's going to speak to us and help us understand what the Bible says about the importance of serving the community around us, and especially those in need.
The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 to 11. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail.
Well, good morning. My name's Patrick and I'm the curate at St Andrew's Church. It's great to be speaking with you this morning about serving the community. Let's pray just as we begin. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word to us. We pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word and by your spirit. Give us ears open to hear from you, hearts open to respond to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you saw or heard about the letter that a group of faith leaders sent to the government to petition them to keep places of worship open during this current lockdown. The letter doesn't appear to have had much effect on government policy. We're still unable to meet together, to worship together, to have services in church at the moment. But I was interested to read this particular part of the letter, which I'll share with you now. Worship is constitutive of our identity, essential for our self-understanding. Without the worshipping community, our social action and support cannot be energised and sustained indefinitely. Our commitment to care for others comes directly from our faith, which must be sustained and strengthened by our meeting together in common worship. Worshipping together is core to our identity and an essential aspect of sustaining our mission and our activity. That's from the letter that was dated the 3rd of November from a group of faith leaders to the government. You see, there's a fundamental link between who we are as worshipping communities, people of faith, growing in our love and knowledge of Jesus and bringing others to know him, and the social action and support, the things that we do to very practically serve our communities. Our faith is real and applied. I remember when I was at college, there was always this debate every year about the theory versus the practice of ministry. What was more important? Was it the theory or the practice? And the debate always came around eventually to the fact that both are essential for faith, that theory cannot be disconnected from practice, that loving God means loving our neighbour. It's not an optional extra, as though we could love God and not love our neighbour, as though our faith could be detached or become detached from our actions in the world and still be a true expression of faith. And in our reading from Isaiah this morning, we hear how God feels when that relationship between worship and service are broken by his people, when that relationship becomes disconnected. The people of God, Israel, had turned their faith just into private acts of piety, of study, of ritualistic observance of religious festivals, and left out entirely anything to do with social action and social justice. And they lived at that time under the oppressive rule of ruthless, self-serving, exploitative leaders. And they just had forgotten and neglected the fact that God has a plan for justice in the world. Indeed, they'd forgotten even in their own history that they had been freed from oppression, from slavery. They had been fed and provided for in the wilderness, and they had been given a place to call home. So as people who had known provision and liberation, they were called to enact that same provision and to liberate others. You see, in Isaiah, Isaiah's understanding and God in Isaiah, we see that God's righteousness, his holiness and his justice are tied together in such a way that they become inseparable from one another. With God, you can't separate justice from righteousness. You can't separate righteousness from justice. So, as the people of God, being made righteous before God, seeking to live lives that are righteous before God, there is an expectation that there is a partnering of that righteousness with justice. And in the passage that we read this morning, we see that there is no righteousness before God without justice. Justice isn't an optional extra. Serving our communities, establishing justice is not an optional extra. Righteousness is so interlinked with justice that a people, the people of God, cannot truly call themselves righteous without being involved with the establishment of God's justice. In fact, in the passage that we read this morning, God says that justice, that social action, that the work of serving our communities is the fast, the religious work, the worship that he wants. Serving the community is the worship that God wants. The 20th century pastor and author A.W. Tozer, in a book about worship, writes this: "There is all around us a very evident and continuing substitute for true worship. I speak of the compelling temptation amongst Christian believers to be constantly engaged during every waking hour in religious activity." You see, maybe since Isaiah's day, things haven't changed that much. We're still tempted to turn our faith into just religious activity. For those God first addresses through Isaiah's word, they were dedicated to observing their religious festivals and fasts, to their religious activity, but it had become empty, ritualistic piety and devoid of the character of true worship. In verse 2 of the same chapter that we read, God says, "They seem eager to learn my ways." In verse 3, he says, "They act as if they are a nation that wants to do what is right." God sees that they neglect to attend to those caught in oppression and injustice. He sees that they neglect to provide for those who are in need, to house those who don't have houses, to clothe those who don't have clothes. And he sees that righteousness and justice have become detached from one another. But with God, they are unable to be detached, because justice and righteousness are fundamental to who God is, and so they are fundamental to who God's people are called to be. So, having seen these things become detached from one another, what does God call his people to do? Well, he calls them to outwork their religious devotion in acts of justice. He calls them to enact their fasts, in fact, as justice, to replace their religiosity with service. And in doing so, to restore something that's fundamental to their identity as his people. He encourages them that as they do, as they recapture the truth of what it means to be God's people, to be a true humanity, that their light will break forth, that he will be with them, and he will answer their prayers. And as they worship him and serve their community, they will become the people that he calls them to be. They will become a people of worship and service, of righteousness and justice, and where those things are so linked so tightly that their service is worship and their worship is their service. In the same book of essays that I was referring to just now, A.W. Tozer goes on to say this: "A true worshipper can work with an eternal quality in their work. But a worker who doesn't worship is just piling up wood, hay and stubble for the time when God sets the world on fire." I'm not sure that I agree with him about the bit where he says that God's going to set the world on fire, but I do get what he's saying, that both our religious activity can distract us and our social action can distract us. If we go too far in one way or the other, we can get distracted and they become less what they ought to be. You see, the people of God are called to be people who are people of righteous justice, of just righteousness. And as we come into his presence in worship, we will find that we outwork and establish his justice. And as we outwork and establish his justice, the kingdom of God in the world, we will worship him. We will bring him worship. So we can't think of the final part of our vision statement, serving our community, serving the community, as though it's an optional extra, as though it's the sort of final point of our vision, that once you've tried the first things, once you've done steps 1, 2, and 3, then maybe try out serving the community as well, as though it's the cherry on the top of the cake. It's not like that at all. In fact, all of the areas of our vision are so interlinked with one another that I think the visual that we use of those interlinking circles expresses the aspects of our vision interlinking so well that no one part is detached from any other. And if we neglect to engage with one area of the vision, then all the other areas will feel that loss too. We see as we serve our community that we grow in our love of God, and as we grow in our love of God, we will serve our community. As we do those things, we will bring others into his presence and into knowledge of him. It's very tempting now to begin to think a little bit more practically about the ways that God might be calling us today to enact his justice and righteousness as the people of God in Oxshott, and in all of the communities that we find ourselves in our work, in our recreation and our home. But I'm going to resist that temptation and let that be next week's topic, how we think about outworking that, the living it out aspect. But in the meantime, between this week and next, let's be praying that God would be building in us a sense of the call to serve that he has for each of us and for us as a community. Let's be asking him where he's calling us or me to serve him today, to serve our community today, that he might be glorified and his kingdom built. So as we finish, let me pray for us now. Father God, we thank you that you are a God where righteousness and justice are tied together. We thank you that when we see justice and righteousness together, we see your light shining in the world. Speak to us now and over this coming week. Speak to us of the places that you have called us, the ways that you have called us to serve, the places that you have called us to bring your justice and your righteousness. Guide us, Lord, we pray, and help us to work in service of our community that brings true worship to you. Help us to establish your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to use a very familiar symbol from within the village to help us pray. The traffic light. Red, to stop and give God our praise, amber to give him our thanks, and green to ask for his help in serving the community. Almighty God, we want to stop and to take this time to praise you. We praise you because you are faithful. We praise you because you never change and your words are true. We praise you because you never fail us. You are our ever-present help, our strength to face each day, and our refuge when things get tough. We praise you because you are our light and our salvation. Great indeed is your love and your mercy to us, dear God. We praise you for Jesus, who saves us and graciously renews our spirit and transforms our lives. And we rejoice that you then use our worship to touch the lives of others too. Unbroken praise be yours. Amen. Father God, we have so much to thank you for. We thank you for Jesus, for his forgiveness and the new life and purpose he gives us. We thank you for our homes, for our families and friends, for the places you have put us in to be community together. We thank you that through the challenges of this virus, we have begun to rediscover what it means to be community together, for all the opportunities we have had to love, support, and care for each other. We thank you for this passage today and for Patrick's words. And we thank you for all our answered prayers and for all you're doing through the members of St. Andrew's, individually, collectively, and through our life groups. We thank you for good news, for the announcement of the new vaccines and the hope that there will be others too, for the 15-minute tests and for the government's determination to bring students safely home for Christmas. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we seek to respond to your words today, change our hearts and help us to take the opportunities that you give us to serve the community that we are part of. Teach us to be more generous with our words, our time and our money, to play our part wherever you place us. Please help us to treat people fairly and compassionately. Give us a heart for your people here in Oxshott and the wider world too. And we pray for your continued provision and protection over our mission partners who have sacrificed their lives to serve others and to serve you. Open our eyes to what we can do to provide for the hungry, the homeless, the refugees, and those who live in desperate need. Show us how to bring your comfort and love to our community. We pray especially for those known to us who are sick, and for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. May they know your presence and your love by those that you put around them. We pray your blessing on all those who provide care and support in our community, for all those who do it as professionals and as volunteers. Revive us with your Holy Spirit so that we and our community may flourish. May our lives bring your light and your amazing love to our family, friends, neighbours and strangers, to the community you have made us part of. Amen.
Now, gathering all our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Before I go, I'd just like to remind you to look at the latest weekly news sheet. There's a lot going on at St Andrew's and with our mission partners as well. And this is a great way of keeping up to date, knowing what's going on and also knowing what to pray about. But we've been concerned that without weekly collections, some people haven't had their normal way of making an offering to the work of the church. So we've added a new way of making a contribution via the website. And here's a short film about it.
If you would like to help St Andrew's to grow and to serve, but are wondering how to contribute when you can't put an offering in a weekly collection, this is for you. We've added a new button on the St Andrew's website, and it's called An Easy Way to Give Online. Here it is. If you click on it, it would tell you about a new facility we've set up that is a completely secure and safe way to donate to St Andrew's. If you click on the Donate button, it will take you to a new page with several preset amounts or the opportunity to choose your own amount to give. Every penny counts, so thank you for all your support for St Andrew's and for helping us to grow and to serve.
Please give it a try and we'll be interested to hear any feedback that you have. We hope that you've enjoyed our time together and found it helpful. Next time you see a set of traffic lights, why not try and remember what we've been thinking about? The importance of service in our community. What will red, amber and green remind you of? Jesus said that when we serve others, we're serving him. So let's close the service with that in mind. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.